Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Lakers will face two huge tests this weekend against the NBA's elite teams. And according to Fox Bet, the Lakers are 1-point favorites against Milwaukee tonight. While they would set the line for Sunday's matchup versus the Clippers, with the Clips as 4.5-point favorites. We're joined now by Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. How are you? Good to have you with us.
Almost as great as the Clippers are.
Hey, I'm with you. That was impressive last night.
Stop
oh, my
it.
Gosh.
Wait for it. Will the Lakers win one, both, or neither of these games?
They will go 1-1, and they will beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh.
Tonight. They will beat Milwaukee and lose to the Clippers.
Yep.
The Clippers, I think the Lakers understand they need to win one of these games. They're 0-3 against these teams, and they need to beat the Clippers, and I think they will beat them in the last matchup of the season in April. But the Clippers get so up for the Lakers. Like, I think some Clippers would rather lose a foot than lose a game to the Lakers, you know?
I agree.
And I don't think at this point in the season, even though the Lakers have played fairly hard and they've respected the regular season, I don't know that they're ready to go to the mat with the Clippers like the Clippers will. I look back, LeBron's first season in Miami, when they were 0-3 against the Bulls. Remember, that's the Bulls with D-Rose and they
don't
were a great
no,
team.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you remember that, Skip.
They were 0-3 in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, they beat them 4-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think the Lakers, it's, look,
that
I think
D-Rose, that was D-Rose MVP season.
Yeah, and I think he deserved it because he didn't have Wade and Bosh. He had Joakim Noah and Luol Deng. So, and they had a better record. So, and they were 3-0 against them. Mm-hmm. So I thought D-Rose, it's a regular season award. We got to remember that. Yeah. But I think it'll be easier for the Lakers to beat Milwaukee. And I don't think, because the one, Milwaukee is technically sound. They shoot it well. They defend. But they don't have the dog like the Clippers have it. And, I don't think the Lakers are ready to go there just yet. They'll be ready in the playoffs, even though I think the Clippers will still win. But I don't think they're ready yet. So, look, I think Milwaukee, they shoot a lot of threes. They're accuracy-wise, they're in the middle of the pack. So, I think they'll be off from three. And I think the Lakers will get that when they didn't lose on Sunday.
That was some wisdom, Shaq.
Did ask me that question again? What you ask? I mean,
you got them going 2-0.
Will the Lakers win one or both?
B-O-A-F. Both. They win in both of these games, Skip Bayless. I want you to hear it right now. And we got due. He don't want to give me no duo on Milwaukee.
I already picked the Lakers. I'm like, Chris, they're going to win tonight. In fact, after I picked him, the spread went up to the Lakers favored by one. I influenced the whole country. I did. It was a pick'em game.
That makes sense.
But I just want, Chris, I want you to, I don't know if you're going to be here Monday, but I need you to tune in.
I will. We'll see.
I'm cooking. Because after the GOAT do what he do this weekend right here, I'm coming with pots and pans.
You're going to cook GOAT?
I'm cooking toast, French toast, crepe. I'm cooking, because GOAT James got this stuff. I don't know if you noticed, but you see that look? He looked different. After the All-Star break, Chris, you look different. Now, you weren't raised on a farm. I was raised on a farm.
Yeah.
And there are certain animals that, you know, they get a look in their eye. You be careful. You be careful, Skip Bayless. Mm.
That would be a tiger or a goat. If a goat gets a different look in his eye, he needs to use the restroom.
No, that ain't what it is. Skip, the goat, and you know I ordered me something. Mm. I don't know if it's going to be here in time. Mm. Got a big old set of antlers.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know if I'm going to be.
Where do you even
I'm going to be looking
that?
Like Deontay Wilder coming to the ring. I ain't going to be leading to the side.
Your legs are going to be gone.
You're going to be exhausted. Right? The show won't go
it
on.
Might be, Skip. Look, LeBron, they understand. And Skip, what did Chris say? You remember I told you the narrative? I just told you the narrative before Chris got out here. I said, well, we might let Clippers win the game so we can have that narrative going to the playoffs.
Let them
win. Yeah, that's what I told you. Didn't I just tell you that?
Mm.
And you remember what LeBron did to in the fourth quarter? Who did put Bron on in the fourth quarter when they played the Bulls?
Oh, D-Rose.
So I just want you to know, Skip Bayless, come fourth quarter in the playoffs, we're going to see number two.
Huh.
We're going to see him.
Yeah, he's going to have to.
We're going
to
see him.
Okay, good.
We're going to see him.
Vice versa.
Yeah. But we taking sweet. We taking all this. We taking, Skip, all this. Going to be ours. We're going to do it to Giannis tonight. Giannis going to get his business. He's going to get his come up tonight. And Sunday at 12:30, Kawhi Leonard in them old orthopedic New Balance shoes, I guarantee that they won't be running any more commercials after Gold James and AD get done with them.
I love that commercial.
2-0, oh, really?
It's well, yep.
It's a don't you love the way Kawhi plays the grand piano?
Why the man have a commercial that he got no speaking part?
You know they doing that because of his personality. It. They smart. It's smart advertising.
You don't need to see.
He tapping. He tapping on the mic.
I think
my guy acting. My guy in a movie. Carrying a movie.
Yeah, but we got now.
Yeah, got that.
We got now. So, are you BOAF or are you 1-1? Because then you started to plant seeds of doubt about. Well, maybe we'll let him have this one. Which is it?
B O capital B. Capital O, capital A, capital F. Both.
Both?
Both. What part did you understand, Skip? We getting both of these games.
I didn't understand the part about how maybe we'll let them have this one, was planting excuse just in case. So you can come in Monday and say, they didn't even try.
No. Why would I let them win a game and I already bet you three cases due on the game?
That's a good point.
I ain't going to just give you three cases. I'm about to get my cases back.
I'll let you back out right now.
I don't want to back out. As a matter of fact, I want to up it to one more case.
Okay, four. Good. Done. Love it. So, what did we see last night? Oh. We saw a continuation of domination. Because it wasn't just last night. This has been six times in a row. Six straight wins for a Clippers team that is just better than the Lakers because they were just better than the Rockets. This wasn't some indictment of small ball. This was a statement yet again made by the Clippers. We're just better. We're deeper. We're superior on offense and especially on defense because we are fiercely committed and dedicated on the defensive end. And we are going to come at you in waves. I felt sorry for James Harden last night because he'd dribble it up one time and it'd be Paul George. And the next time it'd be Kawhi. And the next time it'd be Marcus Morris. And he's just like, stop it. This is not fair. You guys are you're contesting every one of my threes. You're getting hands up in my face and your arms are too long and your hands are too big. He was getting clawed by Kawhi at the three-point line. And all of a sudden, he's going, 4 for 17 and 0 for 8? And he said no mas. With 3:29 left in the third quarter, he just said, you know what? He pulled in Amari at New England. He just said, I'm out. I can't. Stephon Gilmore is too good for me. These guys are too good for me.
Skip, Chris, who are the Rockets going to beat if they go 7 for 42 from the three-point line and your two best players score 45 points, but it takes them 44 shots?
Here's the thing, and obviously they were off from three, but there's a reason they were off from
three. Thank you.
You know how it is. Look, and some of them were open.
Thank you.
But it was because of the tone the Clippers set. You know how it is. Sometimes you're playing with guys that are just faster, more aggressive, getting there, and you can't take the same amount of time and relax to shoot that shot that you can normally. So you got to rush it a little. So even when you're open, you're like hearing footsteps or whatever.
What are we
going
to do about Zubac looking like Elijah Wan?
Well, because against he won't do that against the Lakers.
Thank you!
But he'll do it against the Rockets for sure.
Trez Harrell getting everything off the glass. In 22 minutes, he's 19-10. In 22 minutes,
Shannon,
because you got mini-me's out there trying to. You got 5'11 guys.
He does that to everybody.
Or he going to do that to AD.
Okay,
he ain't going to do that to AD.
We'll see.
He ain't going to do that at Dwight Howard.
You are, and I've said this from the get-go. Look, Skip knows this. We've been arguing about LeBron since he's been in the league. I would love to see LeBron win this championship and the MVP for that matter. But I just think the Clippers are better. It's just as simple as that. And I think Giannis is clearly the MVP. But AD is such a big key. And that's why I'm excited about this week, especially Sunday, because he's got to play with that dog in him. And I still think the Lakers have been making a mistake by not forcing that mentality on him. In the fourth quarter, we know LeBron can deliver in the fourth quarter. We don't know it about AD.
But we started.
And they got to make him start doing
it. But what I have noticed, Skip, he's not getting his normal rest in the fourth.
Right.
Frank Vogel is bringing him back a lot sooner in the fourth quarter than what we're normally seeing. Mm. So you know what that
means.
That's
true.
We geared him up. You smell that? I smell 40-15 on Sunday. You smell that too, huh? 40-15.
In the first three quarters?
Right.
In the game.
As long as 12 of them come in the fourth.
40-15. We won't even fall. We might be out. LeBron got to get a rest.
Shannon, this is happening right before your very eyes.
What's happening?
It wasn't just last night. The Clippers are suffocating and annihilating teams in three quarters. Every good team they've played over the last month. because it started with Memphis. Remember, it's 40-15 after a quarter. After three, it was 90-66. Then came Denver to Staples. It was 98-79 after three quarters. It was over. Then at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is really good at home. They are good. It was 89-70 at the end of three. Last night, it was 90-65 after three quarters.
We had them soft.
These are three-quarter scores.
We had them soften Memphis up. Yo, see, but you ain't want to talk about Memphis playing the back-to-back. We had them beat the brakes off them. And hold on. We just went to OKC and beat them without LeBron by 25. Mm. And you talk about they tough at home. Mm. Really?
Yep.
That was the last time we saw Kyle Kuzma do anything worth talking about.
Shannon, the Clippers have had their full roster 10 times this year, and they're 10-0.
How that's my fault?
10-0.
I can't help it. You got old brittle guys. Well, and my guys are durable.
Their chemistry for having very little practice and games together is impressive. Like, that ball is moving. I know they do a lot of ISO, but the ball moves pretty well, you know, and everybody seems to know their role. We've seen the reports about chemistry issues. I think it's really just the fact that last year in that building, not just on the team, but in the building, it was every possession counts. Not just every game, every possession. Now with Kawhi and Paul George there, they're like, the first regular season don't even matter. Now it's just the May and June and maybe the last month of the regular season. So I think that's an adjustment that some people have bristled at. But when they get on the court, together.
I love how they do that.
Chemistry is there.
I love how they do that. Kawhi locks somebody down, Kawhi is engaged. He get lit up, he don't care nothing about the playoffs. Mm. I need y'all to pick a side and stay with it. Because Jason Tatum cooked him. Everybody been cooking him. But he locked down Devin Booker. You see what Kawhi does? Oh, he care about it. No. We're finna do that.
Think he's going to get cooked on Sunday?
Yeah, bro, I'm going to give it to him. Bro, I'm going to put that work on him.
Really?
Bro, I'm going to put that work on him. Mm.
I'll bet you four cases against that right now.
No, I'm good. I got four right now, right here. And we got plenty of cases come playoff time.
Really?
If y'all make it that far.
So four
if
days.
If y'all make it that far,
yeah.
we're about to make it to the top seed the way we're going.
Top what?
Yeah.
Where we going?
I mean, aren't they only like five back of the Lakers
only.
Now? Four back
in,
after
that'd
Sunday?
That'd be shocking away. If they caught them.
Inching away.
Well, yo, you want to put some dew on that? You want to put some dew on that?
Not yet.
I didn't think so.
I don't want to jinx it.
Ain't no jinx. Yeah. It ain't happening, Skip Bayless. We got this one.
Chris, thank you. No mercy. Amari Cooper and Byron Jones' futures in Dallas remain in question. And Pro Football Focus has Amari ranked as the top wide receiver and non-quarterback free agent and lists Jones as the top cornerback free agent. And we're now joined by former Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick. So good to have you a part of this conversation. In your opinion, Orlando, how big of a loss would it be to lose both of these guys?
Huge loss. Huge loss. Both Pro Bowlers, both great young players, both very, very young in age. Byron's a homegrown talent. He's a first-round pick. You know, he's everything that you ever imagined from your first-round pick. To get a first-round pick to go and make a Pro Bowl just to be ascending, and then you get Coop, who they traded a first-round pick for. He's been everything that they've asked for. I mean, I know he's disappeared at times, Skip. I know you've been harsh on him. Unc, I know you've been harsh on him, but he impacts the game even when he's not making plays. You have to account for him. He makes the offense Dak-friendly. Everybody know what was going on with Dak. He was kind of regressing before Amari came there, but then Amari comes, he makes it easier on him, and then, you know, he's become – has a great repertoire with Dak, and I know Dak wants him back.
I totally agree. It would cripple him. Amari obviously would be the bigger of the two losses, considering he would directly infect the quarterback. And if you're having questions whether or not you want to play Dak because you believe he's a franchise quarterback, well, you're not going to pay him if you lose this guy, because it makes no sense. Because we saw what Dak was. He was a good quarterback, but he wasn't even close to what he is now before he got Amari. So it would cripple him, and plus, Like O said, you gave up a first round to get him. So it basically, you're losing your first rounder after 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, Byron Jones is unbelievable, but he doesn't take the ball away. He doesn't, I mean, you know, there's a difference between a sack and a strip sack.
It's huge.
What made Deion so unique, Skip, is that not only would people not throw at him, but when they did, he made them pay. Ed Reed was unique. Ed Reed took the ball away. There's value in taking the ball away. He has two INTs in 79 games.
He has 19 passes defended and one interception since he's become a full-time corner. And I love him. He's like a little brother to me. But when you're talking about from a business standpoint, Coop puts points on the board.
Yep.
Byron, you know, he's solid. But, I mean, they're switching schemes. They're going away from that Seattle scheme, that cover three scheme where you need that long corner to force tips and overthrows. And yep. I think it would cripple them. Like you said, like it would cripple them to lose Coop. And, you know, I know they don't want to see Byron go, but I think his price tag, it just doesn't fit in, you know, what they're trying to do as an organization.
Yeah. But and plus, get one thing before you go. I think they've been resigned that they're going to lose him. Of all the free agents, that we says, okay, who can we afford to lose the most? And I think it's him. You wanted to keep Zeke. You want to keep Dak. You want to keep Amari. You wanted to keep D-Law. Byron happens to be the odd man out. You can't pay everybody.
So, I have huge mixed emotions about both players.
Okay.
But I do agree, because of the bond between Amari and Dak, you're going to have to overpay him. But yet again, if they have to pay Dak as much as you say they should pay Dak, it's going to be at the expense of Amari also, because it's just too much money. It's just, have you heard what he's been talking about?
What you want to pay him?
40?
Yeah. I ain't said no 40.
You said 40. Come on.
It's the signing. It's the guarantee.
If you got to pay him, you pay him. I think you pay one, you tag one. Are you trying, you know, if I'm not in the business of asking people to take less money, because they're never going to ask them to give them a discount of work. So
if Amari Cooper can get beyond Michael Thomas money on the open market, he's the premier receiver free agent.
Yeah.
I don't think he's worth it. But again, if you tell me he's just worth it because he's worth it, just because he's free.
That's how it works.
He's worth it because he impacts the game even when he's not making plays. Like, you have to account for him. I've been in an opposite locker room, and there's been defenses that, you know, when you come out, it's roll 19, yep. double 19. You have to impact at all times. And, I mean, he makes huge plays. He disappears at times, but...
He does.
Hey, boom or bust.
Boom or bust.
But when we're talking about open market, every player is only worth what someone's going to pay for him.
And they're going to pay huge, because Michael Thomas got that money with a year left on his deal. What would Michael Thomas have gotten on the open market?
$20 million.
Well, he's pretty close. He
probably got 20. Right. So Amari, they're saying Amari wants that now from the Cowboys. So you know if he's wanted that from the Cowboys, if somebody's going to be willing to pay that to get him to leave the Cowboys.
All right, back to Byron Jones, your little brother. You played with him for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Combine workout warrior all time. He set the world record of the broad jump at the combine. The world record.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the standing broad jump, right?
He must be part kangaroo jump.
I don't know.
He's an athletic freak. I mean, he's everything. Freak. He's everything that you ask for.
Remember we showed the highlight, he dislocated his knee, and he sits on the ground, and he pops it back in and jumps up and starts running.
We actually asked him about that. He didn't dislocate it. He said he was just adjusting himself.
How you do that?
Ow.
And also at his combine, he leaped to a point where he tied for the third highest vertical in the last 15 years. Yeah. So you got that plus the broad jump, plus he ran 4.36.
Mm-hmm.
That'll work at 6'1", 199. So he's a big corner.
He is, but he don't take the ball away.
Okay, I got it. but again, I'm talking about combine workout freak warrior. And again, he went to the combine. He was ranked 27th among all cornerbacks going to the combine. I'm sorry, 25th. And then he was drafted 27th overall. So remember, his combine workouts just rocket launched him up into the first round. Like he was like a sixth round pick.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a fifth for a 27th, 25th ranked corner. That's a fifth or sixth round grade on the guy.
Okay.
And he puts up those numbers, and that's what.
Okay. So was it worth it? Well, he can cover. He's really good.
I think it was worth it because once they lose him and he goes and gets $14, $15 million a year, they'll get them a nice little comp pick.
Right.
Nice little compensatory third-round pick that'll pay off.
All right, but if you intercept one ball in 2016 and one ball in 2017, that's not worth it.
No.
Because to me, the whole heart and the essence of defense is taking the ball away.
But he was a pro bowler.
I don't know how, because he made the Pro Bowl with zero interceptions.
Nnamdi Asamoah made the Pro Bowl with zero interceptions before.
All right.
I mean, he had, 2 years ago he made the Pro Bowl. He had an unbelievable season. That first, the year they went to the playoffs, they beat Seattle. He had an unbelievable season.
Except no interceptions.
No interceptions.
Okay, so will I miss him? Will I miss the play in question that still sticks in my craw, the Aaron Rodgers to Jared Cook play?
Oh, the one that Unc blamed me for.
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
I didn't
blame
you. Look at this.
You got to back
Byron.
That. You got to back that down, though.
Byron.
I'm not even close.
Byron, wake up.
I think.
That's your man. He crossed all the way across the field, right across his face.
I think that's some of the things that why he doesn't have as many interceptions. Just he's a freak of nature, but, you know, we all have our flaws, and his instinct could be a little better, and I think he's getting better. And just being at the position of corner and only having one position has been great for him. As far as taking the ball away,
where were
know.
You on that play? Back on the 20-yard line?
On the left side.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No way.
I'm on the left side in the scene.
But you know what's going to be interesting? You mentioned Nnamdi Asamoah. Mm-hmm. You remember what he did in the Raiders? He was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He goes to Philly and get out of that scheme, and what happened?
He struggled.
We're going to see what, because this kid here in the Seattle, that lurk, cover one, cover whatever you want to call it, cover three, whatever you want to call it, we're going to see when he gets out into a different scheme how well you play. Because normally when you get free agents, I always say, if you fall in love with a guy, you better use him in the same way that you fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, you're going to expose him.
Okay.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate here. People are free agents for reasons. There's something that team's seen in them that they weren't worth giving them that money. And I know playing in Dallas and just knowing those people in the front office, they have never lost a player that they wanted to keep. So I'm not saying that they don't want to keep Byron, but I think that...
At their price.
Yeah, I think you prioritize and you know, like, okay, what can we do to make up for his loss? And I think it would be a lot easier to make up for Byron's loss than it will be for Mars.
By doing exactly what? Awuzie and
Jordan.
Anthony
I think
Brown,
that you.
Jordan.
I think that you got to look... You're always looking for corners in the draft. You know, you draft two or three corners a year and hopefully you can get a good one. Hopefully you hit on one.
Or you picking, I mean, they're projecting somewhere between 5 and 7 receivers going in the first round. You got Chase, you got Judy, you got CeeDee Lamb. Jerry Judy is as good a route runner. You think Amari Cooper can run routes? Jerry Judy is as good as I've seen.
I agree.
He's special.
But CeeDee Lamb.
But
he's
not 4-3, though. So, you know, when it comes down to it in the league, you know, you ain't going to get a bunch of man to man coverage. You're going to get that zone coverage.
Yeah,
you need somebody to take the top off that thing.
Hey. Let him sit. Michael Thomas ain't taking the top off.
But, that's why the Saints haven't went to the next level. When it comes down to the playoffs, everything is intermediate. And then they can't get behind people. And then they look up and they at home with us.
Wait, did you just say Michael Thomas is overrated?
Never. That's like another little brother to me. He's
really
phenomenal at what he do, you know. Mike know what I feel about him.
How do you know him?
Every single day throughout his whole process from when he was in high school to when he was at Ohio State, and we still talk frequently.
Really?
Yes.
What's the connection?
The connection is Los Angeles.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Nice so, try, though.
I think it was a nice recovery.
I mean, we need people in the league today. You need people that can take the top off. Nobody ever talk about Tyreek Hill route running.
No, he's turned himself. That's why he got that, well, I don't know, what, 15, 16 million. Because at first, that's all he could do. Now he can run intermediate stuff. Now it makes his over the top.
Why did he
stuff.
Get that 3rd and 14 in the Super Bowl?
Because of speed. His speed scares people. Yeah. But there ain't very many Tyreeks.
I mean, but you got to take speed. I think Amari has something that's unique. His speed, his run after the catch.
Oh, Jerry Judy can do all that. You know Judy can do all that.
Can Michael Thomas take the top off?
Mike Thomas is very, very good at what he does.
He's taking it. Now, if he catch you guessing, ask Marcus Peters, could he take the top off?
Yeah.
It's the little stuff that sets it up. Mm-hmm. Steve Largent took the top off at 4.7.
Michael Thomas ran 4.6.
Yeah, he plays fast, though.
Yeah.
But Amari Cooper ran 4.3, and he plays at 4.3.
I tell you, could take the top off bet just about as good as anybody. He ran 4.69.
Jerry, right?
Jerry. Could he take the top off skill?
It's only one of them, though. It's only one of them.
Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin. I mean, hey, it's those guys. See, if you got speed, it's harder to get over the top unless you're not Tyreek. But the thing is, when you get these slow guys, you underestimate them because they're so technically sound, and you think they're going to run the aisle, you think they're going to run in, the next thing you know, like, how that dude get behind me?
But what's more impressive with Amari for me is, and the same thing I'm going to tell you, is the slant routes that he catches and he takes 70 yards, those is little short run plays to get back on track or, you know, to put you in 3rd and short and he turning them into touchdowns. Yeah. You get paid for that.
Mm. Oh, you see, that's what Judy was doing with Tua.
At where?
Alabama.
Ain't no Tua's in.
If you could do that at Alabama, because that's the close thing.
How many times you play Florida in the NFL? How many times you play Mississippi
State? Oh, hold up. Where did Amari cut his teeth at?
But I mean, Amari had to come and prove in the league. We all know that this draft thing is a guessing game.
Of course, but I like Judy. I'm taking Judy.
We know you do.
I'm taking
CeeDee Lamb.
I love CeeDee Lamb, so I'm with you.
Okay,
there.
You're going to be sorry.
His speed,
I'm not saying he's not going to be good, but right now, Judy, I'll take Judy.
Okay. Did he have Ruggs? Did he have Devontae Smith?
Hold on.
Wait, I don't know Jaylen enough about either one.
What about Marcus Brown? Was Hollywood Brown with CeeDee Lamb?
2 years ago he was.
Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah. Not last year.
But I'm a little biased because I spent a lot of time with those guys. Mm-hmm. But they're impressive. And it was great to have your perspective.
Thank
Orlando,
you.
Having been with the Cowboys, interesting stuff.
Well, maybe
Thank
if you. We buy the SEC rights, you can spend some time down in Alabama. No mercy.
LeBron James, in his 17th season, has a chance to win his fifth MVP award. The only thing standing in his way is a certain young buck. And ahead of the Lakers game tonight against Giannis, the MVP debate has never been hotter between the Greek freak and the king. LeBron, however, insists that winning the regular season MVP award isn't a motivating factor for him. Take a listen.
It's never motivated me. Regular season MVP has never motivated me. To be the best to ever play the game has motivated me and has resulted in me being able to be league MVP a couple times. But I've never gone into the season saying, okay, league MVP is what I want to be. I've gone into the season saying, okay, I want to be the MVP of this team. I want to be the best player in the world. And how I approach my game every day, how I take care of my body every day has resulted in things like that.
All right, Chris, welcome back. So this question for you, how much stock will voters put into who plays better tonight?
The smart voters won't put any stock into it.
Really?
Because it never comes down to one game.
Right.
Especially when, again, to me, it's not even that close. Now, if it's nip and tuck, last year with Harden and Giannis was nip and tuck, then I give you maybe one game, maybe a showdown. But I don't think this is that close. Vegas doesn't think this is that close. ESPN did they had five of their writers do the article earlier in the week. Most of them didn't think it was that close. Vegas now has Milwaukee as the favorite to win the whole thing. So, and Giannis doesn't have an AD. I just don't think it can come down to this one game. And even if you did say that, we have to admit that the first time they played, they only playing twice. The first time, Giannis played better.
Yeah.
34 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists in this, what was essentially a blowout. They were up 19 at halftime. They ended up winning by 7. LeBron didn't have his typical game. He had a triple-double, but he only had 21 points, shot 8 of 19 from the floor. So for him, that wasn't his typical game.
You expected Giannis to make 5 more threes? Because I don't think he
made
5 threes.
No, but he made 5 threes. But my point is that, let's say LeBron had a tremendous game and Giannis was so-so. Okay, so it's even.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they both had one game better. So I don't see how you can just put a lot of stock in what happens tonight. I said earlier in the week, I think there's this groundswell.
Yep.
But that seems to be among fans on Twitter that are saying, you know, LeBron should win it. I'm still not sure, Skip, among writers, how many really think this is close. Because a lot of the writers, especially the younger ones, are analytics guys, and they're going to look at, you know, Giannis's analytics numbers. And I don't know how many writers will be swayed by the narrative.
I agree, because the MVP is a season award. It's not a game award. And so even if – and I believe Giannis will probably have more points than LeBron. Skip, you mentioned that earlier. I just believe LeBron will impact the game different. He'll probably have more assists and things of that nature. So when I look at it, I don't put a whole lot of stock in it. Oh, they went. Skip, it's not like football, you know, where you win head-to-head, because look who Lamar Jackson beat. Yeah. He beat Russell, and he beat Tom Brady, and he beat this one, and he beat that one. So it was clear. But in this situation like this, look, I think LeBron, you know, even if you don't believe he's ahead or it's not that close, he's gaining. If he's not in the front, he's gaining on Giannis. Because we're starting to hear. Because it was a foregone conclusion. It was Giannis, and nobody else was even mentioned in the MVP race. So with the mere fact that we're having a discussion that LeBron is, I do believe LeBron is gaining, because I don't think anybody thought he would be playing this well.
Gaining?
Yeah.
You declared it over.
But I'm talking
now. You think LeBron is the MVP? Not will win it, but in your mind, definitely.
Yes,
MVP.
Yes. And I'm just going by what Chris said. Chris says in his mind, and a lot of these other guys, and he said some of the young guys, they rely on a lot of analytics. Analytically, you know, LeBron probably is not sexy. I mean, probably analytically, probably Luka might be better than LeBron. But at the end of the day, it's hard to deny. I mean, last year we wasn't in the playoffs. This year we about to win 64 games.
Mm.
Where we've only picked to win 51. Mm.
With the guy that you picked to be the MVP alongside. So that's like,
Yeah, but Skip, I did. But I said LeBron would be in the MVP discussion.
Oh.
I said they're going to split the votes.
Okay.
And AD's going to probably get some MVP votes.
LeBron will be in your MVP discussion when he's 65, right?
Like Tom, Tom Brady's in your MVP discussion at 80.
Still going.
Tom Brady be, oh, Tom, if they had Tom Brady.
Can you imagine?
I completely disagree with both of you on this. This is huge tonight because I believe, and this is not scientific, I did not count votes. I'm just going on gut feeling, instinct. There is a huge groundswell led by that man to make this man the MVP. LeBron James in year 17, it's just a better story. And I still say a lot of writers got left, including you, with some egg on your face. I love that. I don't know what that means. Yeah. Egg on your face, but I know.
Well, Skip, you know they used to bust eggs when somebody didn't like somebody would throw egg in it.
But I know what it means, and it means you're just a little chagrined. You're just a little embarrassed. I voted for that guy last year, and he did that against Toronto in the playoffs. He just disappeared for four straight games, and it's hard to get back to an emotional point where you can say, okay, I'm going to make him the back-to-back MVP, because there's a little voice inside just saying, be careful. He might let you down. He might make you look bad again. All he's done is he has been on a record pace in PER to be the all-time greatest PER ever. And all he's doing as we speak is he's number one in defensive win shares. Best PER ever? Best defensive player? It's like, what more? You can't really ask for a whole lot more. And best team by five games over the Lakers. It's almost outrageous we're having this conversation, but I have given into it because it's such a better storybook storyline. And I think the league wants it, the league needs it, and the voters want it. Deep down, they want this because in the end, they need one more excuse. Tonight is the night for one. Because if LeBron really lights them up tonight, and I know it's not an individual, they're not going to guard each other, but if he just individually, statistically lights him up tonight, national TV fairly late in the season, you don't think that's one more big catapult excuse to say, okay, now we can do this. Now I feel not quite so guilty about voting for LeBron.
Well, here's the thing. I feel no shame in voting for Giannis last year because I understand it is a regular season award.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys have won it back-to-back, you know. And Steve Nash, the year he won his first.
He didn't deserve it. Shaq, Shaq.
I voted for Nash that year because Shaq missed, I think, 13 games, you know, for Miami. And obviously Wade was there with Shaq. But even so, Nash, they went out in the playoffs. They didn't get to the finals. And then he won it the next year. When LeBron won his second one back-to-back, remember he lost to Orlando. That was the first year he won MVP. Right. And they lost to Dwight Howard and Orlando, and everybody was shocked. Mm-hmm. He comes back the next year, wins it again. So I don't think the playoffs, you know, fizzling out or whatever has an effect on guys. I think with LeBron, I think he understands. Look, he's been the best player in the world for what? 10,
decade.
12 years, something
easy.
Like that. And he knows, and he's been the best player in the world. And there were clearly, if you just take the name literally, most valuable player, he's clearly been the most valuable player to his team so many times. And so he's looking at it, years I deserved it, I didn't win it. And so now why should I focus on it? Why should I put it out there that I won it? When even if I deserve it, I may be disappointed.
But I tell you something, we're going to get that y'all can't take out of our hands. You can't take that title. Because when we got that trophy, ain't going to be no doubt that the Bill Russell, I think they get called Finals MVP, the real Russell. Mm. We got three of them about to get another one this
really?
Year.
Really?
Yep.
What about those stepchildren down in the basement?
What about them?
Stepkids.
Yeah.
How about them?
They've been bad.
They're knocking on the door.
You can't take them anywhere. They baby kids. You don't take baby kids anyway. That's why they stay down there.
So I'm going to finish off this discussion by throwing two little numbers across the table at my partner, Les Shannon Sharp. My two numbers are, just for the record, just for the big picture of the MVP race, there are 33 players in this league so far that have taken 350 or more three-point shots. Think about this. 33 have taken high-volume 350 or more. LeBron ranks 26th on that list out of 33 with 35% made. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Then high-volume free-throw shooters. There are 23 of those of 300 or more free throws attempted. LeBron ranks, Wow, way down at 19th on that list at 69%. You are shooing him in as the MVP, a poor three-point shooter and a poor free throw shooter. Just for the record.
Is he better than Giannis in any of those two categories that you mentioned?
I'm just putting it in one category, LeBron.
Wait.
LeBron's a rim protecting. Is he a five? I think he's a five. I don't know what he is. Oh, he's a four,
LeBron?
For sure. No,
Giannis.
Yeah, they don't play the same position.
No.
Right?
No.
Giannis isn't a shooter.
We play basketball.
LeBron's the point guard.
We're a positionless guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we play one. We can play one through five. We've done it.
That's whatever you need.
Ask Popovich. You remember we was guarding Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Guarding Tim Duncan in game seven of the NBA Finals.
Really? I remember Coach Pop going, get off him. Just let him shoot those threes. Get off.
And I don't know if you saw. Did you see last week Kawhi missed that dunk, Chris?
Mm. Yes.
Oh, you see that?
Yes. Mm.
Now, let that have been LeBron James miss a dunk. He be waiting.
All LeBron did was just dribble the ball in bounds without passing it in. You know, like, well, what are you doing?
Even LeBron was like, what am I doing?
Hey,
yeah. He's like, I did that.
Where am I right now?
He did like Bledsoe. Bledsoe just got the ball and just started dribbling. The referee handed it to him. He just coming around and just keeps dribbling.
Oh, I'm looking forward to tonight. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Oh, yep. And I cannot wait to see if you're actually
your day coming.
Cooking on Monday.
Your day coming.
Yours has arrived. No mercy.
The mystery surrounding Tom Brady's future in New England continues to hang over the NFL offseason, with just about all of us looking for any clues as to where he'll end up. And according to USA Today's Nancy Armour, if Brady were to leave the Patriots, it would make 2020 the greatest season ever. The drama. Mm-hmm. Shannon, do you agree?
No, absolutely not, Skip. Games make the season the best season ever. There are going to be enough storylines. Lamar Jackson. Can he follow up his MVP season? What does he do? Patrick Mahomes, one of the youngest Super Bowl MVPs ever. Can he repeat? Skip, there's enough storylines. Drew Brees. Look, if Tom Brady stays, what are we going to be talking about, Skip? What if Tom Brady had left? What would the Patriots be? Could he have made this team better? So there are storylines, Skip. Look, there are enough storylines. Cowboys always full of storylines and drama. What if old Dak Prescott somewhere else? Love that story. That'd be a great story for us to talk about.
And Tom Brady goes to Dallas.
Oh, my goodness.
Love it.
There you go.
Would be a story.
Skip, look, you understand how sports work. It's not enough wins and losses, but there are enough storylines that even if Tom Brady left, it's not going to make this the greatest season ever. Mm. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the games and the storylines behind the game, not whether Tom Brady's in another city, Peyton Manning left. So was 2012 the greatest season ever? No. Stop putting this notion at top. No. Mm. And you know it's no.
You just can't stand that it's yes.
It is not.
You answer every Brady question on this show through clenched teeth because it's just grinding on you. You're grinding your teeth. You need to wear a mouth guard on this show because you're grinding your teeth.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
I do sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
I wear guard at night,
stress.
Though.
Yeah.
Way to go. Not only is this about to become the greatest season in NFL history, but it's shaping up as the greatest offseason in NFL history. And again, all of it contingent upon where will Tom go?
Thank you.
All I know is this is Michael Jordan at the end of his prime hitting the open market.
No, it's not.
And Brady has made it clear he's very intrigued by playing the open market.
He's scared to death.
You think so?
He's scared to death. Mm. He's scared to death, Jenny, because you're taking him out of his unfamiliar surroundings. You're taking him out of somewhere he's been for 20 years.
2000 is what
exactly.
I mean, you so think he's about scared. Where to, were
he's
we
putting
in
on
2000?
A great positive face, Skip. If you said, look what I put. Now, Skip, what?
Brady is a great offseason story, but a big part of the interest is guessing where he's going.
That's what you said, right, Skip Bayless? Now you said that, and we don't even compare. We don't even talk to each other in the morning other than production meeting.
I know. So trust me, I know.
We ride on that.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, the intrigue is now because we're trying to anticipate or guess where he's going. Once the season hit, we already know where he is, Jenny. So what's going to be, if Tom Brady plays like a bum, how great is the season going to be, Jenny?
Great. It'd be riveting.
Oh, no, but.
Yeah, if somebody puts all their eggs in the Brady basket.
No.
If they let go of their incumbent quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, whoever, Tyrod Taylor, right?
I'm, I'm more interested, what does Lamar Jackson do for an encore?
Yeah.
What about my homeboy?
You're just trying to take the focus off the most obvious, incredible story in the history of NFL stories.
Okay, Skip, just because James Cameron directs a movie doesn't make it great.
Yeah. It's not a hit.
No!
Sincerely. I hear you.
That's my point. Just because it's a compelling storyline doesn't make it great. It's the play on the field.
Yeah, but it won't matter. If he goes to the L.A. Chargers, the world will be focused on the Chargers going into their new billion-dollar stadium at SoFi. And if he takes Antonio Brown with him and Antonio is declared eligible again by the league, that's even a huge subplot to it. And I think, by all accounts, A.B. is going where T.B. is going.
Yeah, but right? That's a storyline.
Yeah, it's great. And then if he falls on his face, you'll be gloating every Sunday.
I'm not gonna gloat.
The whole world will be watching like never before. Can he change a culture by snapping his fingers? Will Bill Belichick go get Andy Dalton and start, you know, rising toward another Super Bowl?
All it is a story. It's a storyline. A little Aaron Rodgers get back and win another Super Bowl. Drew Brees, what does he have left in the tank? My homeboy, can he repeat?
Blah, blah, blah. This is it. This would launch this season to heights that you've never seen before. How many Tom Brady playing for the Chargers topics would we do on this show? We'd do five a day.
Skip, if Brady doesn't play great, if the games aren't great, let's just say the great games aren't great.
You'd love that. That would be your all-time storyline.
No, she said this is a great season. She didn't say anything about just Tom Brady games. The season.
The whole season.
We're talking about the whole season. We're talking about 32 teams. We're not just talking about him. He's a story.
But her point is he would be the primary storyline to elevate the season into all-time status. Right? Just wait until March. What is it? March 16th?
16th.
Yes, March 16th. 12:01. Here we go.
Stay with me, Skip Bayless. Watch my eyes closely. This is to the left. This to the right. Round and round. That's what I feel about your story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't stand it that guy has the world's attention right now.
Skip, he's
the world.
He's a freak. All I know is my homeboy is the story.
Mm. He's not a free agent. He's a freak agent.
What are you going to do? About to get $40 million.
Yep.
40!
Mm.
The first $200 million man. Oh,
stop it. Nobody cares. They care about that guy.
Skip, because he's a free agent.
What if he leaves Bill Belichick for quote-unquote dead? Can Bill resurrect himself?
Jenny, if I sit something out by the curb, do I need it? Do I want it? It's not like Coach Bella. The phone call. Now, you said Coach Bella dated the Boston Globe. And we're supposed to believe what they're reporting. So if we take what they're saying is true.
The Herald.
Coach Belichick talked. Oh, the Herald?
Mm-hmm. Herald.
Okay, the Boston Herald. Coach Belichick called him. How did the call go?
Badly.
Why did it go badly? If I want you, Jenny, if I'm trying to woo my girl back.
That's the point.
Thank you.
It's the greatest story ever.
Yes.
The greatest coach, quote unquote, does no longer wants the greatest quarterback.
If you're trying to woo somebody back, if I'm trying to woo her back, I can't call up on the phone, Ava, how you doing? You make me sick. I'm glad we left. No!
Try a little harder.
Thank you. Coach Belichick ain't go out of his way.
You're making my case.
Thank you.
You're making her case.
No, you making Coach Belichick case.
Yeah.
Look, the time is running out for the Patriots. Before Brady can officially become a free agent, he can negotiate starting March 16th. He said he's going on vacation until then. So I don't...
Coach Belichick said, I'm already on vacation. I'm at my place in Nantucket. No mercy.
Well, the obvious concern for many across the NBA when Anthony Davis became a Laker was whether he was truly elite or just a great player on a bad team. But according to the LA Times, AD has exceeded expectations this season and proved that he can be a great player on a great team. So, Shannon, has AD exceeded your expectations?
Absolutely not. He's everything I thought he would be. You watch this guy, you understand what he is, Skip Bayless. He's a career 24, 10 and a half, 2.5 blocks per game. Mm. He's 26 and a half, 9.5, 2.4 blocks a game. He's what you thought he would be. Skip, we've seen the guy have a 59-20, 40-15, 30-20 games. We know what this guy is. What was he supposed to do in New Orleans? Beat the Warriors with KD? In AD's brief playoff career, he's only had, I think he has 13 games, Skip. He's 30, 13, and 2.5. So in other words, he increased his scoring, his rebounding, and block shots in the playoffs. Mm. That's how that's how James Worthy got his name, Big Game James. Because in the bigger the game, the better he played, his scoring, everything went up. Anthony Davis is the same thing.
Really?
Huh. I know what Anthony Davis is. I know what he represents. He just now, people are getting an opportunity to see him more because he's on television more. He plays for the Lakers. He's playing alongside LeBron James. But I had no reservations about what I thought he would be with the Lakers. LeBron knew too. Just like he told y'all about Dame, y'all don't want to give Dame Lillard any credit. Let me have him. I'll show you how good Dame is. Mm. He's AD. AD. Only difference is, Skip, AD now plays through nicky-nack, nagging little injuries. He'll play through those before. But now, he see that chip at the end of the horizon, he laser focused.
Mm, really?
Yep. Talked to him the other night, too.
So, the AD I often watched in New Orleans in regular seasons over seven seasons went 216 and 250. So, he was way under 500. He was not a transcendent, franchise-changing player. I don't know why. Is there something intangibly missing? I don't know. But I've seen him in two really big games, Big Game James kind of games, this year against the Clippers.
No, stop.
And I got to tell you, I don't know why, but his numbers off his overall regular season numbers are down a little bit against the Clippers. Is it because there's more pressure, more spotlight, more focus, more intensity?
I thought regular season didn't matter. I thought we were talking about the playoffs.
Those are the only two games I really care about.
No playoffs.
Thank you for bringing that up because I can't wait for April, May, and June. Mm-hmm. Because I love it when NBA playoffs reveal your backbone, your character, your intangibles, whether you have the heart of a champion or that dog in you. Do you have that dog in you or not,
you got
Anthony?
It.
I don't know.
I do.
I haven't seen that dog
in you. You're going to see it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure because it's one thing to go light up the Sixers when they don't have Embiid or Ben Simmons on some Sunday afternoon. That's one thing.
Okay.
It's quite another to put it on the Clippers in game 6 and 7.
I trust AD.
Do you?
Yeah, he that dog.
Really?
Yes, and he going to bite.
I haven't seen that dog. You going to see it. And I definitely didn't see it against the Clippers like on opening night. Got skunked in the fourth quarter.
The people ask me all the time, well, would Tonka bite? I said he got teeth. Anything got teeth to bite, right?
Really?
Yeah. So you about to see 6'10" with the Lakers. Skip, there's just something about when you put on that purple and gold.
Yep.
And you play on that stage and you play next to GOAT James.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It just brings out the best in you.
Yeah, I've warned AD all along. You got to be careful with GOAT because he'll be the first one to deflect blame on to his co-star.
All he did was heap praise.
Really?
All he did was heap praise.
So far, so great. So far, so
all he does is heap praise.
Not been any adversity.
You know what it's
going to be. Yep. Here we go.
So let me ask you a question. So AD has surprised you? So you're surprised with how well AD is playing?
Not against the Clippers. Numbers are all down. Seriously. Like he's shooting 51% during the regular season, except against the Clippers, it went down to 42%. 34% from three against the Clippers, 13%. Free throws, 84% overall. That's really good. But only 73% in those two Clipper games. Down, down, down. Every number is
so what
a little
about,
down.
So what about the games that Kawhi? Kawhi shooting a career low.
This is about AD.
But I was just saying, Kawhi. But you make it seem.
Kawhi has two finals MVPs. AD has nothing to show for his postseason.
He about to get finals to the finals and win
really?
This year.
Let's just see what he does Sunday, okay?
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.